Welcome, everybody, back to the Friar Talk podcast and YouTube channel. So for today's episode, we are going to be discussing the Nick Martinez signing that happened last night. This is coming out, Thursday morning. So just want to go over, who this guy is, what we expect his role to be. When I initially looked at him, I thought, oh, Padres went and added another reliever. Kind of weird. Don't think that's going to be his role. I do think he's going to be potentially the fifth starter or a guy that can kind of maybe piggyback with Clev and maybe even be a sixth starter. Who knows what they do? We've talked about the six-man rotation many times in the past, but this is a guy that's going to be at the end of the starting rotation in some capacity. And if you look at his numbers, it's a little weird when you see the signing. Oh, he got 5 years, $20 million. And the last time he pitched in the MLB was 2017, but he just had an amazing season last year. Chase, do you want to just kind of go over the adjustments that he made and why he's different than he was, 4 or 5 years ago when he pitched in the MLB?
Yeah, so the biggest thing that jumps off the page is, one, his velocity increased. It's kind of like the story of Pierce Johnson when he first went over. He was a failed starter. He went over to Japan. Something clicked. His velocity jumped up about 4 miles an hour. So now he's averaging around 93 to 94 with the potential to hit 97. It was reported that he hit as high as 96.9 miles an hour. Let's just call it an even 97. So, he's sitting between 94 and 97 now in his fastball. His changeup has increased in effectiveness, and he started to throw it more. So he bumped that changeup use up to around 20% to make it his primary putout pitch, and it paid dividends. It looks nasty. It has a pretty good sink to it. It's got good arm side run. It looks good. It was just kind of one of those things. It was as simple as, one, his velocity, and two, he found new life in his changeup. It became more effective. It dropped more. It had more arm side run. It was more deceptive, and he started using it more, and it put away people. So, looking at his 2021 numbers, he pitched in 23 games, threw 149 innings, and struck out 146 people. He walked 39. Those are some pretty good K to walk rates. You don't want a guy that walks a lot. And one of the things that – the only thing that concerns me about this signing is, why would they go out and sign another starter, like a fifth starter? Is something really that wrong with Paddock? That's kind of where my mind went, but he is here for 5 years. He could be used as a middle relief guy. He could be used as a bullpen guy, but – the fear is with that is he's a guy that only throws 94 to 97, and 94 is like the new 90. You're signing, if he's coming out of the bullpen, you're signing a guy that doesn't throw that hard. That is my only concern.
Yeah, that's what we were all talking about before we recorded, is that, the average fastball in 2002, I saw it earlier. For anyone who saw Ross Stripling's tweet, he said, I'm trying to bring back that 88-mile-per-hour fastball. And it was pretty funny because in 2002, the 88-mile-per-hour fastball was average. It was the average velocity. And now it's like 95 or 96. So, yeah, just looking at it, you're thinking, oh, man, we just got a guy who upped his velocity from 90 to 94. And it's a consistent 94. Chase brought up that he tops out at 96. I mean, or 97, but he's not going to throw 97 on every pitch. Whatever you top out at is probably around 2 or 3 miles per hour more than what you really throw in a game. So with that, that's like Chase mentioned, it's kind of like the new 90. And that's kind of, I feel like that's kind of why we're seeing, Emilio Pagan. Emilio Pagan, he's starting to get rocked a little. He was starting to get rocked, and it's because he has a weak 90. Okay, I'm not going to say weak. He is a major league player for a reason. But it's not a lot like a legit 95-mile-per-hour fastball, and hitters are getting used to seeing those, and we're starting to see guys like Bruce Dark Gratterall throw 102. Two guys that we just acquired throw nine. One of them throws a 99-mile-per-hour sinker, and the other one throws 101, 102 as a on a fastball. I think I forgot what it was. We just got a lefty who threw 99. How many lefties can throw 99? So pretty crazy. Just looking at the tweet, seeing he had a really solid ERA in Japan, you're thinking, oh yeah, we just got a solid signing. You look at the major league numbers, you're thinking, oh shoot, what did we just get ourselves into? I forgot who brought it up, but he could definitely be a starter, like that fifth or sixth starter. And the reason I say that is because, like, when you sign a reliever, like a project reliever, you kind of think like a one-year deal, maybe a two-year deal. And of course, he can opt out after that first or second year. There are opt-outs in the contract. But you sign him to a four-year, $20 million deal. And that kind of feels like more than what a reliever would make, especially considering his past in the MLB. So it feels like he could be set up to be a starter, whether it's as a fifth, sixth, or just a depth piece, which, you know, we've been talking about. The Padres need depth because of what happened last year. Literally, the whole world is better than Jake Arrieta and Vince Velasquez. So that's kind of what you want out of, you know, a $5 million deal. So, you know, only time will tell with this guy. There's a lot of stuff that he's improved in his time in Japan or wherever it was. And you know, hopefully that plays in the MLB. We saw he has a really wicked changeup now, apparently. So hopefully he's able to pan out for the Padres. Also, former Ranger. And that I'm sure that's why it happened.
Oh, another Ranger tie. Look at that. AJ Preller goes from again. It's hilarious how many guys from the Rangers organization or people from the Rangers organization AJ Preller has brought into San Diego. But you look at this, and I think that's, if that is a factor, that's a little bit scary. But when I saw this deal, my first thought was, okay, this is a deal where the scout and AJ Preller, the stuff that we really like about AJ Preller, this is what he's trying to do. He's going and he's finding a guy and saying, hey, this guy made these adjustments. He's not the same player that he used to be. He's a completely different player. If we sign him to this $20 million contract, we're getting him at a huge bargain, and he's going to produce so much more than that. Could that happen? 100%. It is weird that it's a five-year deal. That's a lot of faith in someone who's had success for one season. It was in Japan, right? It was in Japan. Okay. You know, this is a guy that he had a great year too. Like, it was a fantastic season. I think he pitched almost 150 innings, had like a 1.6 ERA. He was great. But this is a move where it's about the scout and AJ Preller, and it's a little bit risky. I would say it's not that risky because you're not like breaking the bank for this guy, but I do like these types of deals more than some of the other ones that we've seen Preller kind of swing for, where we've known that when he goes and swings for older players on these huge contracts, that's where he's been more vulnerable. This is a little bit different. This is a guy, 5 years, 20 million. So I'm a little optimistic, but what are you guys' expectations for Martinez next year?
You know, if he comes out of the bullpen, I would be great if he was like a mid threes ERA guy. You know, he went out and threw multiple innings, you know, piggyback off some guys. That's kind of what I expect his role to be. You know, AJ Preller does usually have a really good eye for talent. It's just sometimes, you know, that talent just never sees the field. It just speaks to kind of some of the depth that the Padres have. You can look at the signing with Ha-Seong Kim. He just kind of doesn't have anywhere to play in the infield, so he doesn't have anywhere to play consistently. He doesn't get consistent at bats. So if they want to use this man as a starter, let him start every 5 to 6 days. If not, throw him in the bullpen and make sure he gets like 3-4 innings a week, because you got to let him readjust back to the MLB level. You know, Japan and MLB, there is a little bit gap in skill. So you can't just be like, okay, he pitches once a week and only throws 2 innings. No, you got to let that man throw 3-4 innings a week. And maybe, you know, just piggyback off Cliff for the first half of season. So then if he's got the stuff, throw him in the sixth spot, fifth spot, whatever happens. But make sure he gets consistent reps, because that's kind of where they lack when developing talent that comes from either the minors or outside organizations such as the KBO or the Japanese Professional League.
Yeah, completely agree. You got to be able to get him in there, get him some reps. Again, the main concern is his numbers in the majors, but the main pro is his numbers and his improvement in the Japan League. So, you know, like I said, only time will tell how his stuff plays in the MLB. And we'll see what his role is. It, like, for the money and the amount of years that he was signed to, you definitely think like he could be maybe a long reliever, like something in the middle of a starter and a reliever, probably those 2 or 3 innings. when called upon. But I don't know. It's a weird signing, something that I absolutely didn't expect. And we could probably expect it to be the last signing for a couple months with the lockout. The lockout pretty much happened as we started recording this. So, you know, we'll just see what the Padres do from here on out. It looks like they're, you know, solidifying their bullpen or whatever, you know, Martinez is going to play. But it looks like they're solidifying their bullpen. And it's only a matter of time before I think they start solidifying their lineup. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it definitely seems like there was some trade negotiations or signing negotiations that happened with the Padres, but nothing got finalized. Still many free agents out there. Still a lot of guys on the trading block. Whenever this lockout ends, that is what we're going to be talking about on Friday, what we want to see out of the CBA lockout negotiations, all that kind of stuff. and then on Saturday, we're going to talk about Emilio Pagan and if he can have a bounce back season, which I think is a very fun discussion where people will have very strong opinions. But that is going to do it for today's episode. So let us know what you guys think about this Nick Martinez signing, and we'll talk to you very soon.